The fourth Sunday after Pentecost. The first lesson is taken from Isaiah chapter 66. Rejoice with Jerusalem, and be glad with her. For all you who love her, rejoice greatly with her, all you who mourn over her. For you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breast. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord says. I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice, and you will flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but his fury will be shown to his foes. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is taken from Galatians chapter 6. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the Word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me to trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. but it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, I greet you this morning in the all-powerful name of Jesus Christ. It's nice to be back with you all after taking some time off. And I thank Pastor Kosberg, and I thank Pastor Wellig, and Leif, and the other people that filled in for me. Thank you very much for doing that. It's nice to have gone off. And I'm sure, like many of you, a portion of the time I took off, we went to the beach and had a great time. You know, to get ready to go on a trip like that, you kind of have to think about all the things that you're going to need when you go wherever it is that you're going. Certainly, you want to take some sets of clothes, you know, to cover the time that you're going to be gone. Of course, if you go to the beach, it's a little bit easier because you don't have to take many clothes to the beach. But, you know, if you're going somewhere where you're walking, you want to take some comfortable shoes, maybe sandals if you're going to be walking on the beach, swimsuits, of course, all kinds of, you know, things like a grooming kit or a cosmetic case for the ladies. Maybe you want to take a camera or a cell phone, take some pictures of where you are and what you're doing. Maybe a laptop so it can Google while you got some time to do that, or maybe if you're into reading, a book or two. Of course, you have to take some money, right? It's expensive out there. You got to buy food and things like that, right? Sometimes, though, when you go off on an extensive trip, it's not like you're getting away from things. You're bringing the things with you on a trip like that. But you have to be prepared for whatever it is that you may run into, might need when you're on a trip, right? Well, in today's gospel lesson, Jesus had his disciples get away too. But it wasn't for a vacation. He sent them to do his work, to bring the kingdom of God near to the people that were away from where they were. People that may never have heard the word about Jesus before that. He had them actually go to the people rather than having the people come to him to hear him speak, as had been the custom previous to this. Kind of a different model, mission model that Jesus was establishing here. Now, I believe that Jesus did a number of things when he sent out the 72 disciples. You know, in Luke 10, our gospel says Jesus sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he likened the mission to a farmer getting ready for a harvest. You might say that he was sending out his disciples to kind of prepare the fields for a bumper crop of believers. Well, what I believe he was also doing is having his disciples kind of practice evangelizing. Maybe getting them ready for the time that he would no longer be physically present with them. He was preparing the farmers, so to speak. He was letting them go out kind of on their own to give them a taste of how it would be and to let them get some experience in evangelizing. In that way, they would be better tuned in to what he wanted to teach them in the future. And they would be better able to make disciples of all nations, just like he would ask them to do and give them the command when he ascended into heaven. But notice how he sent them out. Did he have them pack a bag as if they were going on a vacation like we would do? No. He sent them out with nothing. He said, "Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road." Wow. Not even food, or not even money for food. Can you imagine you or I going out on a trip like that with nothing? Why? Why did Jesus do that? I'm sure many of them had some concerns about that. Because, you know, they don't know what they might experience out there, especially with nothing in their hands. And especially when he said, "I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves." Why did Jesus do that? I think he was trying to teach them not to rely on the things of this world. You know, the things that they might have a tendency to want to take with them. Because I think that Jesus thought whatever they take with them is going to be a distraction. Their success, the success of that mission that he was sending them on, was nothing to do with them or in material possessions that they might take. He wanted them to rely on him alone through his Holy Spirit. He wanted them to know the important thing for them was that they were his disciples, and that they could rely on him to take care of all of their needs while they did what he wanted them to do. Now, in addition to that, he obviously was having his disciples spread the message about Jesus, about the Messiah had come. The message beyond those who would have naturally come to Jesus to listen to him. He wanted them to go out to the people. He was having people hear the message about Jesus in their own towns, in their own homes. He was showing his disciples the power of witness multiplication. Because each of those 36 teams that he sent out were to recruit other people to continue to spread the message around that area. You see, Jesus had given his disciples power through his Holy Spirit. He gave them power to bring peace to people and to homes. He gave them power to heal the sick. He gave them power to cast out demons. He said to them, "Whoever listens to you listens to me. But whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The miracles that they were able to perform would solidify their message to the people that they were in front of, solidify their witness, and have the people be more receptive to listening to the message that they had about Jesus. The people with whom they would interact would have the kingdom of God right there in their midst, just as if Jesus were right there with them. Well, the 72 went out, and they returned. What was their experience? They were overjoyed. They were rejoicing when they came back. They said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." It must have been quite a fabulous, enlightening experience for them to go out and to have, you know, be able to do the things that they did and have the people respond the way they did and have those successes that they had. Of course, with the Holy Spirit going with you, you would expect success, right? Well, Jesus, when they came back, had to kind of rein them in a little bit from their exuberance. He had to bring them down to the core of his teaching in this mission experience. He said to them, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's the lesson, right? That's the most important thing. They were children of God. Their eternal future was already secure. Their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They shouldn't become prideful because of what God allowed them to do when they were out there in, you know, with other people. Jesus pointed out that the sin of pride was the sin that caused Satan to fall from heaven. He said, I was there when I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He wanted them to understand that it was God who used them to do what he wanted them to do, to accomplish great things. That they were children of God and that nothing could take away that relationship. And that most important thing was better than anything that they could accomplish on their own. Well, this is a lesson for us today, too. We should understand also what's important. We should understand that we, too, are children of God, and there's nothing that can take away that relationship we have with Him. Oh, we can walk away from it. We can walk away from His family, just like the prodigal son did in the parable that Jesus told. But as far as God's concerned, our inheritance is secure. Therefore, nothing in this life should worry us. Because that's the most important thing. I mean, we came into this life with no material possessions, did we? And we're going to leave this temporary life with no material possessions, aren't we? Everything we have. Everything, every material thing we have and every person that's in our life has been given to us by God. Now, thinking about things that have been given to us. This past week, the 4th of July, we had a great celebration of our country, right? All the freedoms, all the blessings that have been given to us in this great country by God. Celebrating this great country. You know, some people, they really like taking advantage of all of the freedoms and all of the things that we can do in this country that maybe you can't do in some other countries. But they tend not to want to associate that with God giving us those things, giving us this country, giving us all the resources that we have, giving us even our government. Yes. God gives us our government. God's fourth commandment says that you should honor your father and your mother, and it also includes everyone in authority over us. Sometimes we have a hard time with that, but God has given us that government for our own benefit. Are they perfect? Absolutely not. We know that because government is made up of people like us, flawed sinners. But God knows that if we didn't have the government structure for us to help us, to benefit us, it would be total chaos. Sin would just run wild over us. And so it's fitting that we do honor this country and the government and everything that we have been given in blessing from this country. Well, what else does Jesus' mission exercise? What other things are a lesson for us today, too? Well, you know, Jesus sends us out just like he sent out the 72 disciples. He sends us out. We're not just to sit here like we are now, all nice and comfortable in our comfortable chairs and our air conditioning and everything, and open the doors and just wait for the people to come in. You know, some will, but most won't. The ones that really need to hear the message of Jesus are not going to be coming in here at first. We need to go to them. We need to use Jesus' example and go out to them. We are the ones that are supposed to meet them in the towns. We are the ones who are supposed to meet them in their homes, because this is where evangelism takes place. People need to hear that they too can be children of God. They too can have their eternal future secure. They too can have their names written in heaven. We can bring the kingdom of God near to people out there. But we have to also understand that whatever happens out there, if the people give their heart to Christ because of something that you read to them from Scripture, or if they completely disregard everything that you say to them, it's not up to us. The Holy Spirit is the actor here. He determines who believes and who doesn't. Like Jesus said, whoever listens to me, listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. He wants us to be like the 72 disciples who go out and open the doorway for the Holy Spirit to come in by telling them the word of Scripture about the Messiah, Jesus. And like the disciples, He gives us power when we do that, when we go out in His name. He gives us the power of prayer. Everybody can pray, right? Prayer. That the Holy Spirit would enter the hearts of the people that you're talking to and give them saving faith. Prayer that they would ask for their sins to be forgiven. Prayer that they would want Jesus to come into their heart and welcome the Holy Spirit and do what Jesus wants them to do. You know, few of us are given the power to immediately heal sickness, right? Or to immediately cast out demons. Few of us can do that, but we can pray that God would accomplish that, right? You know, I've said this before. Some of you may remember. We seem to generally be surprised when God immediately acts on our prayers, right? I mean, you know, it's like those times when somebody has a serious illness and maybe they're not ready, they don't think they're going to recover, or maybe they've been in a serious accident and it's a question of whether they're going to live or whatever, and we pray and immediately they get better. Or the times when we pray for some significant thing to happen and right after we finish praying it happens. Why are we surprised? Why are we surprised? Prayer is a powerful thing. God gives us the power of prayer to benefit other people. He wants to answer our prayer. He wants us to ask Him through prayer to do good things. Right? He gives us the power to bring peace to other people. You know, we all live in stress-filled lives, don't we? I mean, there's all kinds of things going on with us. We can be a peaceful influence for other people by having them understand what's important. That Jesus is their provider. That God gives them a way out of their sin through Jesus so that they don't have to worry about what their eternal life will be. So that they don't have to worry about what's going to happen when they die. God will help them rather than them having to constantly worry about all the things in their life that they have to accomplish themselves. God is there to help them. And once that realization sets in through the work of the Holy Spirit, they will be more peaceful in their lives. Their lives will be more fulfilling. they can then see that the message of Jesus can be passed to other people. You see the multiplication of witness effect here? Also, Jesus gives those who go out in His name protection. Protection to overcome the power of the enemy, Satan. As a matter of fact, He gives us one word that we can use to fend off any attempt by the enemy to take us off of our message of the gospel. Do you know what that word is? Of course you do. That word is Jesus. Jesus. The word Jesus is all powerful. So like the 72, we too can have success when we go out to other people in His name. But whether we think that, you know, we've had a success or not, if we've talked to some people, whether or not we think we've brought peace to another person or not, whether we think that God answered our prayers in an immediate way or maybe not right away, it's not up to us. We shouldn't take that as a sign that we're really effective or we're really not effective. No. Like the farming example, what we're doing is that we're sowing spiritual seed, right? I mean, in our second lesson, Paul wrote this in Galatians 6. He said, "A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let's not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." You know, as we go out to other people in our city, in our workplace, in our schools, in our own homes, we're sowing the seeds, the spiritual seeds, to please the Spirit of God. We leave the outcome to Him. What's important for us to know is that our future is already secure. Our names are already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are children of God. And in that, we can all rejoice, right? Amen.